Tonight, I'm going to give you a chance to ask a question or two. Try not to hold you long tonight in that we are late coming. Anybody got a question? Brother John, the woman in chapter 12 of Revelation, okay? Well, I think one thing that would help us understand that, John, would be that remembering the way that God works. You know, it's strange how God works, but He works that way. And man, what man does, he kind of does it in a repeat after God, and he works the same way, except it's kind of in a repeat. And I think it would help us to consider the fact that God works as a Trinity. And this helps us to understand that here we find a Trinity. We find three parts. One part is the woman that's in travail. The other part is the child that's been caught up to the throne. And then the other part is the remnant of the seed. So, when you say another thing I think probably would help us is when we think about a person that makes a garment, they cut, they have their pattern, and they cut the garment out, and then there is what they call the remnant of the cloth, which, as we say, are the leftovers. So if there is a... Well, let's read this, and maybe we could comment on it a little bit. Revelation, the remnant is found in the 17th verse of the 12th chapter. It speaks of it. Let's just read this chapter. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, water the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And that's the 17th verse. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now that's really beautiful right there, and I'd like to comment on it, but I'd like to just comment a little bit concerning this, since God pressed John's heart to bring this up, because it was one or two things that I wanted to make mention of tonight that had to do with this very thing. First of all, this house down here, the Bible said, as in heaven, so in the earth. And in this house down here, or as pertaining to this house, it has to do with the coming of the Lord and with the elders around the throne. And you might say, why do you say the elders around the throne? What's the throne got to do with that house? Well, you know, God, the preparation of man's heart is from God, and God prepared their hearts to call it the Father's house. They just automatically call it the Father's house. And though I tell them it's for a parliamentary thing, it's to the work of the Lord and whatever, they still call it the Father's house. So within the Father's house is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he within his fullness dwells within that temple. And of course around the Father's house, whereas the throne is in heaven, there's 24 elders which are kings. And if you notice, strangely enough, those pillars look like that they had crowns upon them with the wire and the rebarb that extended beyond the pillar. It looked just exactly like they'd been crowned. And of course, when we got to certain ones of them, they were enclosed, had an enclosure of the collar type thing that really made it even more like a crown. And then besides that, when they started dipping water out of those particular pillars, I found that they had a cup with a crown on it. The cup that Brother Taylor had been bringing to me with my drink so often that has the crown on it, and they dipped the water from there. Well, anyway, we could go on and go on, and we could go into a present-day revelation as to what has taken place in those things, in what we call the foolish things, in that it confounds the wise. It's not, you know, a person that's not spiritual, they can't understand. The Bible said that the natural man cannot receive the things of God. The natural man, if you're natural, you know, you can be a spiritual man or you can be a natural man. Now you might say, Brother Pike, what is the difference between a natural man and a spiritual man? A natural man is a man that is in the flesh, that has a natural frame of mind, that has natural desires. He's after passions. He's after money. He's after the gullible desires of life. He's natural. All of his desires is of Satan and of the world, in that Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. Now, whether it's for his family, whether it's for money, position, whatever it might be, he's still natural because he is given to the outer man. But then the Bible speaks of the inner man, which is the spirit. And there are certain people that are given to the inner man, which is the spirit, and they walk after the spirit, and they're not in the flesh. They don't think in the natural. They don't reason in the natural. They are actually in the spirit. They don't, you know, it's not a matter of you trying to be in the spirit or be in the natural. That's foolishness. You can't do that. You are either born again or you're not born again. If you're not born again, then you're in the natural. And you think as a natural man, and all that you do is natural. And you never see when good comes. You never see the things of God. You never see when the Spirit is moving. You never see the things of God, because the natural man cannot receive the things of God. He might have had a religious experience. He might have come into the light. He might have tasted of the gift of God, been made partakers of the Holy Ghost of God, in that the Spirit is poured out upon people. But see, he cannot receive the things of God, because the Bible said that darkness cannot comprehend light. And from your first birth, your mind is interwoven with the spirit of Lucifer, which is an intellectual reasoning of darkness. It is an educational sort of a thing. The whole world is like that. The Bible said we know that the whole world is in darkness. All right, so we're children of light. How am I children of light? How can I differentiate? How can I tell the difference? The difference is I'm born again. I died to that man. I died to him. I was born into this world as a natural man, as the son of my father. I died to that. I gave up that. I turned away from that. I hated that life because it was vanity and vexation of what I wanted in my heart. So then I turn to God. I'm not interested in the things of the world. I'm interested in heavenly things. The Bible said, let your conversation be in heaven. And you're to keep your mind on God. And all that you do is for God. And all that you plan is for God. And God doesn't take away the satisfactions of that which belongs to you as a natural person. As a matter of fact, they're more satisfying in that he gives them to you according to the biblical rules, and he gives them to you not as a theft, and they are yours forever. And he gives you health and happiness to enjoy those things. Well, anyway, when you are a spiritual man, it is because you are born again, not because you turned over a new leaf or you've got a resolution or something like this. You're actually a new creature in Christ. You have spiritual thirst, spiritual hunger, spiritual desire, spiritual ambition. Your whole heart is set on heaven and on God, and all you can think about is God. Every thought comes into subjection to the obedience of Christ, and your conversation is in heaven. It's in holy things. Now, we are they that dwell in heaven. How can my conversation be in heaven? Because I am one of them that dwell in heaven. See, if I'm a creature that dwells in heaven, how could my conversation be anywhere else? See, you dwell in a certain place. That's your conversation. That's your knowledge. That's all that you are. So if I dwell in heaven, I think heavenly. I talk heavenly. I am heavenly because I am a creature of heaven. That is, I am born to the Spirit, and the Bible said he that is born to the Spirit is not in the flesh. They that are in the flesh cannot please God, because you have to be in the Spirit. And to be in the Spirit, you can't just get in the Spirit. You know, we say, we'll go to church and man, we just got in the Spirit tonight and we had a heavenly time. It is true that you can go to church and get in the Spirit in the sense that the rain is on the unjust as well as the just. But it is also true that that is a blessing upon you, upon your body, upon you, a wooing to let you know the goodness of God. For the Bible says that truly the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. So then that is upon you. And we've got numbers of people like that throughout the world that are religious people. They're like that. Throughout the world are like that. They're just as religious as they can be. They're regular attenders of church. They go about, you know, talking about religious things and all kinds of things, but they're still naturally religious. They're not born again. But a person that is born again, they are a spiritual being that is born into that world, and they live into that world. And they are like little children, like little babies, just growing up more and more, developing into the power of God and into the knowledge of God. You know, a lot of folks, they get afraid that they'll never come into these things, and they think, well, I'll never get it. It's not for me. But let me tell you something, folks. When you are a child of God and when you're born again, it's just like in the natural. When you are a natural child, you're born into a natural world, you're going to develop into natural womanhood or manhood. And whatever the natural calls for, whether it be cars, houses, whatever, you're going to get some of them. And it's the same way with the Spirit. If you are genuinely born into God, then that means that you're coming into God and you're going to be in the power of God, the knowledge of God, the revelation of God, the joy of God, the peace of God, the greatness of God. You're going to hunger and thirst after God. You're going to feed from God's table because it's there. That's the kind of person that you are. All down through the years, why have I done this? Down through the years, before I become a Christian, I didn't do this. Before I become a Christian, I went after the world. I wanted the things of the world. I dressed like the world. I acted like the world. I wanted the things of the world because I was of the world. So I loved the things of the world. And the Bible said, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. How then is it all of a sudden, as a real young fellow, I just switch right over. And all of a sudden, all of my life, I've never changed from that. I've never went back out there. I see people that come and they go, and they come and they go. And they're over here a little while, and then they're back out there a little while. And they seem to be real religious for a little while, and then they just go out and just swallow up that out there, of the wallowing in the mire and eating of that. You know, there's no possible way you could be born again. It's not possible for a son of God to do those things. You've come and tasted of the good things of God. All right, I'm saying all that to say this. Revelation 12, that's what it is. It is the catching up of the man-child to the throne. This house down here has to do with the throne and the elders around the throne. That's why that we get in there, we have the council like we do. The men come together, we talk, because little Bethlehem has a great predestinated meaning toward the end time and the things of God. Even this morning about 3 o'clock, I come out from the yard there working with those pillars and wrestling around with the powers of evil and come in just for a moment of refreshing in the house there and pressed with necessity. I came in there
And while I was in there at 3 o'clock in the morning, here's a woman is called out of Louisiana, Shreveport, Louisiana. Just got to have help, begging for prayer. Prayed for her, and she said that she had a tape there that of ours called The Promises of God that she listened to just about every night. See, there she was, pleading. Bethlehem is predestined for a work. We're trying to do a work, and God is spreading it. Just like putting those pillars around there. Why are we doing that? Well, as in heaven, so in earth. The natural man can't receive the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. But I spiritually, being in the Spirit, being in heaven, seeing these things that take place in heaven, which is in the Spirit, I perceive what God's doing. And see, these pillars go all the way around what we call the Father's house. Well, the Father's house is the many-membered body of the Lord Jesus around the world. And God in His fullness dwells within that body, Jesus Christ being the head of that body, or the church. And in God's fullness, He dwells within that body. And I'm about to go around the world to touch base with, as we would say, the elders of the church around the world, that this thing might come into a complete continuity, or that it might come together in a cycle around the world, touching base over here and touching base over there, like in Louisiana this call comes in. We've touched base with those people there. We touch the lives of those elders over there, and around the world there is the body of the Lord Jesus. See, around the world there's the elders, and this message touches base with them. See, how do you understand what I'm saying? Within the radius or the confines of this great outreach around the world is the body of the Lord Jesus, the kingdom of God within mankind's heart. So then we see that God is doing a great, mighty thing. John asked about this tonight. What is it? See, it is a rulership that's coming on. You know, ruling the world. Someone would say, Brother Pike, you're going to rule the world. Is that what you mean? No, don't go off and tell somebody that I said that I'm going to take the world over and rule the world. If you go out there telling things like that, you'll just be telling them the truth. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. So then, what I'm saying is this, is that you and I, as the body of the Lord Jesus, being members of His body in particular, we're going to take the entire world. Because the Bible said that Satan shall wear out the saints of God, and then they shall rise. They're going to get a new lease on life, and they're going to get a hold of something that's going to stimulate and stir them, and they're going to rise up with a great super intelligence as of God to overpower what seems to be a great intelligence in the world. See, the great intelligence of the world of school and college, they rule. But when God comes into your heart, all of them are of a good understanding when God comes in. And so then you rise up above all of that, and you're going to rule the world. For the Bible said, He that overcometh, I will let him rule with a rod of iron, and he'll break the nations as pottery. So then the man child being caught up is the many-membered body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the catching up is the revelational mind of Jesus Christ, which comes into the heart of mankind. This is why Paul was caught up into the third heaven. He said, I can't tell whether I was in my body or out of my body. I can't tell that. I don't know. He said, but I do know of one that was caught up into the third heaven and saw things it was not permissible for him to speak. Not lawful. So then, the man child, he gets caught up. Not in his body, because the body has not yet been changed. Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell. At that time, it could have been whatever. I don't know. That's between him and God. I've got my understanding of it, of what I feel. But I do say this, that for the church, the body is not caught up there. The spirit or the inner man is caught up there, and the body goes into the confines of death. The Bible said that the dead know not anything. They go into the grave. They are now dead because of sin. The body is dead. That is because we've sinned against God. He had to kill the body. And the way He killed the body was by the body of the Lord Jesus as to Calvary, that we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, unto the world and the things of the world, by the body of Jesus. That was the end of our life. When we come to Calvary, that's the end of our life. And so then the body is now buried. It cannot sin anymore. Sin is of the soul, and you cannot sin the sin of the soul because you pass from death unto life. As long as you live, you're abiding in death. The Bible teaches that they that live in trespasses and sin, they are dead while they live. But when you are dead with the body of Christ, you are buried. So then you are not in the flesh anymore, because the flesh is dead, it's buried. And at death, the spirit, the man on the inside, the inner man, went back to God who gave it. So you are a spiritual being equal to the angels, cannot die. You've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, and you are a spiritual being for a spiritual world that's going to live eternally. And you also are going to inherit this natural world and change it over with your body. But as the heavenly, so are they that are heavenly. As the earthly, so are they that are earthly. That is to say, I'm in heaven in my inner man because I am heavenly. So I am in the earth in my outer man because I am earthy. I am of the earth to my outer man. So I am buried, and from dust I came, to dust I... The Bible said unto Adam, thou camest from the dust, to the dust thou shalt return. So when I was buried in the watery grave in the name of Jesus, to dust I went. Death came, my spirit was released and went back to God who gave it. This is what it was all about in the Old Testament when they killed the animals back there. It was the purpose of spilling the blood, burning the body outside of the gate, and letting the spirit go back to God who gave it. Always a trinity. So this is what Brother John is speaking of here. As to the remnant of the seed, there is one that goes up, even the man-child, and then the woman goes, as we say, like without the gates. Usually, in this sense, probably across the Jordan and over to the places that was built in the old times for the manslayer to flee to. That is the places of refuge. Going over there, getting out from the immediate area of the crowd. You understand what I'm saying? So the woman goes over there for her recovering and her time of purification, which is her week, before she can return to her husband. And the child goes up to the throne. And the remnant is there in Jerusalem. And Lucifer, which is the coming in of the communist power, goes into that area, and part of these people have to flee away for their lives. It's a rending of the veil, and the great city falls. It falls into several parts as the greatest earthquake that has ever hit strikes. But she's driven out, the remnant of the sea. The 144,000 goes up to Mount Zion. They've been sealed at the first of the week. They parallel with us. At the first of the week, if you'll notice, there's 144,000 that John sees in the earth seal. There is the great multitude that no man can number that's come up through great tribulation that he sees around the throne. So it is as to the body, to the spirit. We could just go on all night with this. But just trying to get down to the point here. Now, that means that there is a dividing asunder of the several. The same way with the Jew, with the Catholic, with the Gentiles. That is, with the Jew people, Jew first, and that with the Catholic people, and then with the Protestant people. See, always a trinity. So here it is, the mother, here it is, the child, and here it is, the remnant. So the remnant is left there, and the Communist Party are the people of the world. All have become communists, and they all gather in around Jerusalem. They come, but the 144,000 is already caught up. Now, let's just notice this. Maybe you are not aware of it, and of course, I'm not aware of it either, unless the Lord lets me know these things, which He makes it His way to do that. Right now, we've got a real threat. The threat is as to Africa. We're going into Africa. I wondered if maybe this had to do with us going into Africa. But we're going into Africa. There's a real threat. We are dependent upon chromium. Maybe some of you know about this. We're dependent upon chromium. And I believe it's 96% of our chromium comes from over in South Africa. Now, if we are without that, that does away with the medical ways of life. We have to have that stuff to keep up our medical strength. It does away with our atomic powers as to what we can do with atomic powers or our major powers of defense, because we have to have the chromium. See, and on is numbers and numbers of things. It just makes everything come to a standstill. Communist knows that. They're smart enough to know that. And they've already moved in around that area and all across Africa. They have completely infiltrated Africa. And they are in every position and part of Africa. And they're ready to take over. All around Cuba. All around down in South America. I'm not talking about a little army of 25 or 50. But as far as I know, according to the count, millions of them. See, and so then Jerusalem is no different. Right there in Jerusalem, around the valley, the Caesars already have horses, as far as I know. They've already trained for rough riding in the plains. And in that particular field that's called the Field of Blood, they say there's more battles been fought there than any other place in the world. They call it the breadbasket of the world. Beautiful. Standing up from where Solomon built his place there, looking down across the valley that's supposed to run with blood even up to the horse's bridle. It's beautiful. For miles and miles, it's beautiful. See, and the war will be on. The war with the remnant of her seed. They go to make war with the remnant. When the 144,000 goes up to Mount Zion, then the remnant is excluded. And when the remnant is excluded in that they are not sealed as the 144,000 that represents the security of the 12 tribes, then that means that the devil has his chance to go in there and plow the fields of Jerusalem. The Bible said they will ravish the women. They will just ravish the entire town, the city, whatever. They'll just tear it into pieces. It'll be a terrible thing. They'll subject them to all kinds of things. Jews are hated anyway. And they're hated. Well, what can you say? Somebody says they're hated because they serve God. No, that's not why they're hated. They're hated because they are believed to have crucified the Lord, which they didn't do. The Roman powers did it. It wasn't lawful for them to put anybody to death at that particular time of the feast. And they are hated to the world because they killed the prophets. They killed the apostles. They're continually murdering. And they get very vicious. So they are hated. That does not have to do with the spiritual ones, which are the true Jews. And this is what I want to comment on before I close here. The true Jews, we are spiritual Jews. He that is a Jew outwardly is not a Jew. He's just another nationality, just another warhead. That's all it's all about. But it says here that these have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Did you notice that? These that keep his commandments as to the law. And then they have the testimony of Jesus Christ, which means at this particular time, something has happened to convert these people. Because they would be keeping the commandments, but not having the testimony of Jesus. So obviously here, when those that are to be caught up as the 12 tribes, about this time, there's something that happens. And when this thing takes place, it affects these Jews. Because they come in, or these people, they come in and these have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So that is what's going to cause the problem. We could go and comment, and I could just go on and on and on as talking about this and talking about what the building has to do with and what we're doing right now. But anyway, this has to do with the woman going into the wilderness. And the remnant of her seed as those that will be attacked by the evil powers. The woman will be protected. There's two protections. One of these there's three protections, but there's two protections that we think of. And one of these protections is the seal of the 144,000. That's one part of them that relates back to the man-child. Then the other part is the woman who is protected for time and a half a time. In that she hath a place prepared for her 3.5 years. As to Daniel's middle of the week. And of course the going away is in the middle of the week. And the 3.5 years has to do with the last 3.5 years of Daniel's week. As the breaking of the covenant, this is why the war comes, the war in heaven. And all these things start because when war starts in the earth with the Jews, it's going to start in heaven. It's going to all be simultaneously. So then the third protection is that the others as the remnant will come into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus and they'll have the testimony of the Lord Jesus and that'll be their only protection for God to fight with them. Well, maybe that didn't explain it thorough enough, but with the other things I said and the time that we've taken and being late, we're just going to stop right there. If you'd like to stand with us.
While we're standing together, let's sing this song that I like to sing so much. It's called I Love Him. I love him. Sing it with me. I love him all because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. I see George Jr. down. Glad to see him here. You know, a lot of things are happening. I hear that, I believe it's telling me that Dwight, I think the Arias is trying to give Dwight a hard way to go, and I heard that they're trying to give one of the other sons that's out in Texas, Myron, a hard way to go, and thousands of dollars. And then it's like Sister Aline, she was telling Sister Betty, I heard telling Betty that Alan has had a wreck and maybe got a suit for $300,000 against him. And then somebody else was telling me, what was it? Something about $300,000. Anyway, what I'm saying is this. All these things are happening. IRS, problems, heartaches, troubles, diseases, all kinds of inconveniences and problems in life. And we think, God, why? We just kind of brood over it. We say, why is this? I work. Why should they take my money? It's theft. It's robbery. And that's true. That's very definitely true. But still, on the other hand, which is more important? Our world's financial security and goals, or our goal of eternal life? And God knows that we're a people, and we get so gullible that we get wrapped up, completely swallowed up in the things of the world. And then when we do, we don't have any spiritual hunger. And like Brother Branham said one time, it's a sin for you to satisfy a spiritual craving with an old, gullible, worldly appetite. I mean, you know, turn to the worldly things. That's wrong. And that's what people are doing. So then God knows the greater things of life. So he lets all these other problems and inconveniences come to keep our minds from getting cluttered up and keep us from getting bogged down with what we call financial securities and securities for our families and all the different things of the world that we want to get. All the conveniences of life. God just lets everything bog down. About time we think we got it made, it looks like, kind of like the story of Little Chicken Little, the heavens fall in on us. And this is where the problem is. But I tell you what I've learned. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things that pertain unto life will be brought and given to you, added to you. For the Bible says that I have given unto you all things that pertain unto life, but seek the kingdom first. So when you get the kingdom of God, you get the love of God, you get the understanding of God, you get the mind of God, you get the faith of God, and then you can have health and happiness, and all these other things will be added unto you. All of those things. You just lift up Christ. Don't lift yourself up. If there's anything good to be said about you, the Bible said, let another man say it. Let another woman say it. Let somebody else say it. If there's any good in you, they'll see it. And in a good thing, they'll praise you. If you've got a light, it'll shine. But if you boast yourself of a false gift, when it comes time to produce, you'll be like a well without any water. So, get your mind on God. Follow God. Invest in God. Put everything in God. Make sure that what you're doing is godly and holy and approved of God. And don't have anything. The devil, he'll say, oh, add this little thing to your life. Because it'll just be so much better. And you can just, my, what will happen to you? It'll be so wonderful. He's lying to you. To get an extra dollar to do wrong, you are a fool.
If you got $2, then if you need a third dollar, wait till God adds the third dollar. And don't never let the devil tell you that you can add something and get you an extra dollar, because you'll lose a child, you'll lose your life, you'll lose your mind, you'll lose your health. Something bad will happen to you in the day that you do it. It might be a month, it might be 2 months, it might be 2 years, but there is no possible way for it to fail. It will happen. So then sow the righteous seeds for the reaping, the songwriter said, which is coming to each and every one. So you can rejoice in that day when you hear Jesus say, come ye blessed, for a crown ye have won. All right, so let's do it God's way and seek the Lord, and then you can have happiness and be blessed. Let's sing another chorus or two. The altars are open. You're welcome to come if you will. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Sing it with me. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. At the cross, at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. You love Jesus? Let's sing this little song. Jesus gave her some water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water and she went forth to tell. She went away a-singing and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. For Jesus gave her the water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her the water and she went forth to tell. She went away a-singing and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. For Jesus gave me the water that wasn't from man's well. Gave me the water and I went forth to tell. I went away a-singing and I've come back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. For Jesus gave me the water that wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave me the water and I went forth to tell. I went away singing and I've come back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. For Jesus gave me the water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave me the water and I went forth to tell. I went away singing and I've come back bringing others to the water that wasn't. Sing it with me. Jesus gave me the water. It wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave me the water and I went forth to tell. I went away singing and I've come back bringing others to this water. Sing it with me.
there wasn't from man's well. Jesus came to the water, and I went forth to tell. I went away singing, and I've come back bringing others to the water. Can you sing it with me again? Lord Jesus gave us the water that wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave this water, and we went forth to tell. We went away singing, and we've come back bringing up the water that wasn't. For Jesus gave us the water that wasn't from man's well. And Jesus gave us the water, we went forth to tell. Went away singing, and we've come back bringing others to the water from the well.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. For we've anchored the soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need Thee, Lord. I need Thee. Can you sing it with me? Every hour I need Thee, I need Thee now, precious Savior. And oh, how I need Thee. Don't turn Him away. Oh, turn Him away. For He has come back to your heart once again. So let Him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need Him to plead your cause on that eternal day. So listen to the Savior and hear voice and don't turn him away. Let's sing this. I don't want your gold or silver, and I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus, for to me he's everything. So I don't want your gold or silver, and I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus, for to me he's singing again. Oh, we don't want your gold or silver, and we don't want your diamond ring. All we want is the love of Jesus, for to me he's my everything. You love him? Let's sing another chorus. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all robed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bridegroom to come. For I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for that bride. Oh, we're ready now for Jesus to come. Oh, we're ready now for Jesus to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready now for Jesus. Sing with me. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? For be it morning, noon, or night, better be dressed in spotless white. Oh, we're ready for the bride. One more time. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Oh, be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready. Can you sing with me again? Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Yes, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bride. Oh, we're ready for that bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for our bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be dressed in spotless white. Can you sing it one more time? Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bride. Sing it one more time with me. Yes, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Yes, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bridegroom to come.
Somebody say hallelujah. Let's give him a hand, can you? You know, we sing this song, Time Shall Be No More. I sing it a lot of times because I like to sing it. We sing the song, Time Shall Be No More. And I thought, tonight, you know, the pillars just about around the building. And with everything just about ready for the world trip, the coming of the Lord is at hand. And I told you the other night, certain thing that we predicted that the government would accept someday. And when they did, that would be the end of the world. Sodom and Gomorrah. So they did. They accepted it. Okay. Now, today, tonight, you know, I spoke about Danny, Dale, different ones, my son, George Jr., David, different ones. I speak about you and them and the different ones. It's what your life has to do with. People home, people abroad. And the Lord shows us the different things as he did Brother Branham when the time was for him to go off the scene. And tonight, I thought today something's happening now. Time fulfilled. Time's at hand. And tonight I come home and Danny was there. And about the time that I got ready to come to church, I told Danny, I said, Danny, would you get my house slippers for me? I'm kind of a little bit chilly just coming in, you know. And Danny brought them in there, and I looked, and I thought, oh my. And there was the house slippers. Can't remember who gave them to me. But the ones that I wore walking up the streets of Dolorosa, place where Jesus dragged his cross through Jerusalem and where they've been fighting as of late. Going up Dolorosa, there was the slippers that I wore, the house slippers that I had on that early morning when I went up the streets of Dolorosa prophesying that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. And at the same time that the book, Time Is Fulfilled, went all over the different places in Israel. And there I slipped those slippers on. I thought, Lord, surely you're trying to tell me something. You're trying to tell me something. It's been Wednesday, middle of the week. I thought when George Jr. came down right there, I saw him through the window when he first came up. I thought there's something going on. Something great and mighty that's going on. Something great and mighty is going on. So we're going to sing this song, Time Shall Be No More. Let's sing it again, can we? And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time